She's a story we most likely have heard, but deserves a regular telling, and even as for me, a spot on my refrigerator to remind me of its message. At a party given by a billionaire on Long Island, Kurt Vonnegut informs his pal, Joseph Heller, that their host, a hedge fund manager, had made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his wildly popular novel, Catch-22, over its whole history. Heller responded, "Yes, I know that. But I have something that he will never have. Enough. I have enough." I bring this story to mind whenever I'm tempted, first of all, tempted by a bar of dark chocolate in which I usually take one piece every day. And I eat that one piece and that whole bar is just waiting for me to gulp it down. Enough. Also, when I'm tempted by the many email ads urging me to buy something that I already have, but it's not as big, flashy, or current. Do I need a newer phone, more books, subscriptions, winter jackets, or to upgrade gadgets I already have and that serve me well? But the temptation is there. Come on, get with it. Buy some more. Buy. Add some more. Get some more. And more. And when you have more, get some more. That's what keeps our economy and way of life going. It will be what gives your life meaning, and people will look up to you as successful and way ahead of the game. God help us. No, I do have enough. Time to give a new meaning to the word of fasting. It's the same when I'm jarred by people who have different opinions than I do, and I'm tempted to walk all over them with my facts and wisecracks to knock them out of the ring. Or when in a group I'm tempted to jump in and cut someone off so I can put my opinion forward and dominate the conversation. I have said enough. Or tempted to look down on someone that I judge not to be as sharp or educated as me, forgetting that each person has a unique experience and wisdom that often beats anything in books or classrooms. Or to act out of a strong masculinity that dominates, never shows weakness, always is out for the win and lots of it. Being a real man. Enough, Tolan, enough. Or to give in to implicit racism or sexism or clericalism by ignoring how they are influencing my behaviors. But most of all, when I recognize that I am contributing, passively perhaps, to society values that contradict the reign of God, where the values of God's dream rule: solidarity, compassion, care for the neediest. God's rule is enough. What is troubling even more is that many of these voices tempting me come from the culture in which we live, and often come into the economic system, which is our economic system. We belong and we are in a country that its economic system is a neoliberal capitalistic system, and it works for many, for most perhaps. We all gain something from corporations, and some of us might have worked in corporations and tried and did as well as we could, and the corporation did as well as it could in serving the community. And we all gain a little bit or a lot from the stock market. All of us do in one way or another. So the system itself, it can work, and it's not need be bad. But when it runs into excesses and can be destructive, destructive of our common life as one people. There was a time in the 50s when this a different value entered into the culture of the corporations even. You know, instead of we compete with good quality products, you say, well, no, we compete if we can make more profit. That profit is what we're aiming for, not necessary quality. So we have to aim to get profit. It's profit. I remember a friend of mine, I might have told you this before, he came back. He said he was just at a board meeting of a company that made ink for newspapers when the newspapers used to use ink. And he was giddy. He said, "You know what we did for the last 6 months? We watered down the ink and raised the price. And the suckers took it. We made a bundle of money." I said, "Do you think that was good?" He said, "Well, everybody's doing it, isn't it?" "I don't know whether that's the best way to run a company. You know, you were supposed to provide good ink for the newspapers. Isn't that somewhat of a lie?" We're living somewhat like that today with the whole question of the opioid crisis, where pharmaceuticals just, they knew it was addictive, but they kept pushing it and pushing doctors. Everybody's doing it, you know. What matters is profit, making profits. It's the extreme of self-interest. We can cheat, we can lie, as long as we make a little money out of it. That's damaging to the culture of any corporation, of any church, of any business, of any family. So in its excesses, our system can sometimes be contrary to what is often referred to as Catholicism's best-kept secret, the Catholic social teaching of the Church. To study and live by it, to preach it, is being political, because it speaks to us as the body politic, what puts together our economy, our society, our politics, and how we are to live as a people of mutual support and caring. Catholic social teaching. It's something that we don't often hear, unfortunately, from pulpits like this in the Catholic Church in the United States, or hardly ever as the basis of a Lenten reflection and retreat. But it is integral to our Catholic faith tradition that teaches that we are part of God's plan for a universe of diversity and a common home where all are respected, living in harmony and mutual caring, and where none are left out. The biblical image of God's dream that was so forcefully preached by the prophets and by Jesus is a world where God reigns. It is a world that is the guidepost for living our Christian Catholic faith. In his acts of healing and hanging out and eating with everyone, regardless of social or religious status, especially the outcasts, Jesus would make the reign of God real in his way of acting. But he would not do it from a cave. The Spirit led him into the wilderness where he would be confronted with the harsh contradictions of the world he lived in, which would be full of temptations to worship other gods. What he experienced in the desert wilderness was a consciousness that to embark on that mission would be going against the whole system of domination the people of his time were facing. He would be confronting the powers of control, Rome and its army, its tax collectors, temple bureaucrats who were milking the people with their taxes and their demands. He would be preaching against outmoded, rigid interpretations of the food and cleanliness laws of Scripture, of the rules of family and society structures of patriarchy that specified oppressive roles for women and children, and that promoted control by violence and racial and ethnic divisions. To take on the vocation and mission of a bearer of God's mercy by proclaiming that God was already reigning among people, inspiring acts of kindness and solidarity and justice, would be to go directly against the system of dominant hierarchies and all its works. And that system would not tolerate it. It would seek to eliminate him. So Jesus felt in the desert, he felt it in his bones, the tempting call. Do I have to do this? Can I be a good person and still live a comfortable life using the gifts I have to gain some money, maybe a lot of money? Maybe work in the city of Tiberias on one of King Herod's building projects. I could gain some influence to do some good within the system without preaching against it. I seem to have a talent for attracting and mesmerizing people. They listen to me. I could be famous and yet not ruffle any feathers of the powerful and stay under their radar. But in his heart, he heard a different voice. All he had learned in that home in Nazareth from his parents about God, hearing the cry of the people and coming to defend and heal them, all he had pondered of the prophets and God's call for a fasting that serves justice, for caring for widows, orphans, and outcasts, all that would be his guide and his rule of life, God's reign. The solitude of the desert gave Jesus a clarity that triggered in him a firm refusal to give in to the temptations for extravagant wealth, power, and fame. One does not live by bread alone. You shall worship the Lord your God, and God alone shall you serve. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Only in an all-merciful and loving God at work in the world does one find the real kingdom, power, and glory. So all of us, as we enter into this period of Lent, not just as individuals, but as a body of people on a common journey, Lent is mostly a communal journey for us to live out as a community the way of Jesus in embodying in our lives the reign of God, to take some time out and reflect, some solitude perhaps in nature and silence, to get back to the core of what defines our faith as Catholics. It's a time to ponder what voices are shaping my values. Am I allowing the dominant culture and perhaps an economic system too much influence by false values to rule how I live, raise families, be a neighbor and a citizen? Is this not a period to dig into the treasure that is the Catholic social teachings that promotes values contrary to what is often seeking our attention and our loyalty? Catholic social teaching teaches the common good over extreme individualism, solidarity over extreme self-interest, dignity in the workplace over nonstop efficiency, integral ecology and care of the earth over extraction and dominance of fossil fuels, fair participatory democracy over dominance by a well-heeled few. There's a new book out coming out. It's called Catholicnomics, The Economics of the Catholic. It's kind of an interesting book if you're interested. If you read anymore, most of us are not reading a lot of stuff. And trying to see the contrast between what are current values in our society and what comes from our Catholic tradition. So as we begin another Lenten season, once again, Jesus invites us, and as a community, to be faithful and passionate partners in being attentive and guided by the practice of living the reign of God among us, as spelled out in Catholic social teaching. Now, if you bought something yesterday, you don't have to rush off now and say, oh, I'm going to return it. I shouldn't have bought that. No, you keep it. But just keep in mind that wonderful little saying, have I had enough? Living and practicing the reign of God, that is plenty enough for us.